All right. Thank you. All right, first of all, I would just like to thank everyone who showed up this morning. And there will be those who might be listening to the podcast tomorrow. And so I'd like to say that you are missed today. And it is my hope, the hope of the steering committee, the treasurer, that until you're ready to return, that you will continue to support LEC financially so that when you're ready to be here, we will be here for you. So as it's been mentioned, the title of my talk is Sunrise and Butterflies. And I know, it rhymes. That's why I liked it. But can you imagine, besides it rhyming so beautifully, waking up in the morning to a radiant sunrise and then spending the whole day among graceful butterflies? I mean, what a joy life would be. In fact, with such an amazing worldly scenario, joy wouldn't seem like a choice at all. So what's going on in the world today is giving us an opportunity to become aware of our power to choose. We choose how we want to experience life, to discover our freedom to decide how we will be in the world and live our life in the world no matter what. It's giving us an opportunity to practice what we teach, that joy and peace and love and well-being are qualities of our spirit that are within us and always present for us to choose. So all this month, we have been exploring the power of attitude and the health benefits of a positive attitude. As we noted last Sunday, there's scientific proof that there's power in positivity. That at the cellular level, each of us depends on positivity to survive. And that when there is a health crisis, actively enhancing positive emotions boosts the immune system. Well, if that's the case, and who are we to argue with scientific proof? Then it must also be the case that when there is a health crisis, actively enhancing fearful negative emotions will lower our immune system. Our attitude toward life, positive or negative, powerfully affects our life experience physically, as well as emotionally and mentally. My four-year-old great-nephew, Joseph, didn't speak a word for the first 3 years of his life. Didn't say anything. His first words were actually a full sentence. And they were offered to my sister. A message from her husband, who had passed away 3 years earlier. And he looked up at her and he said clearly, "Grandpa says, you're stronger than you think." Now Joseph, who lives in Missouri, hears things that others don't hear. And he sees things that others don't see. And so I paid close attention when out of the blue and for the very first time recently, he asked my sister to send an email to me and to tell me to take care, to stay awesome, and to share the love. I'm taking Joseph's words as a message from the inner life that we all share. In Science of Mind, we read how careful we should be about what we let down into the deeper currents of mentality. All that is ever asked of us spiritually is to take care of ourselves and each other. By taking care of the thoughts that we entertain in our mind, and to stay as awesome as we're created to be, and to share the love in whatever way love moves us to share it. Now, we were reminded last Sunday that our experience of life is determined not so much by what life brings to us, but by the attitude we bring to life. Not so much by what happens as by the way our mind looks at what happens. Our individual experience of life isn't determined by the thinking of anyone else unless we join with that thinking. Our individual experience of life isn't determined by anyone else's experience of life unless we allow it to be our experience too. We are powerful creators right here on earth, and we create our individual life through the consistency of the thoughts that we choose to focus on. Whether those thoughts cause us to feel heavenly and have a sense of well-being, or if those thoughts frighten us and cause us to feel like hell. In the book of Psalms, we read, "If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there also. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, your hand will lead me, and your embrace will hold me." It's a good page. I'm going to pause till I get it. We live and move and have our being right now in a universe of love. And love is the vibration of creation. We can never lose our inner connection, our inner spiritual power, our God-given power, our divinely sourced power to create our individual experience of life through the universal law of attraction that responds to us. We can't say it too often enough that we call to us through the vibration of the thoughts we are emitting. Whatever is occurring in any moment, and what will occur in the next moment, and the next moment, and the next moment, unless we change our vibrational tune. So this month, we're focusing on the powerful vibration of a positive attitude to bring health and vitality to our body, to bring calm and well-being to our emotions, and to bring clarity and peace to our mind. And though I wanted someone to sing Sunshine, Lollipops, and Rainbows this morning, the spiritual life is not a lollipop ride. To be in this world, as Jesus said, and not be of this world, takes inner strength and great determination and conviction. We must take responsibility for and control of the only thing that we have authority over, our own mind. Living a spiritual life, even though it's natural to us, requires a moment-to-moment commitment to center ourselves in peace in a world of panic, and to choose love in a world of conflict and divisiveness and blame. Don't worry, be happy is a call for deep spiritual practice. But it's easier said than done, because it's likely that most of us were taught and still believe that to worry about others is a sign of our love for them. But when we worry about anyone, ourselves, our family, our friends, our neighbors, we put them in a vulnerable place in our mind. We're accepting the possibility that harm can come to them. We're not seeing the spiritual being. We're not seeing the divine being that is there to see. And we are not knowing that the Christ within them is present right there to guide them and protect them. It's been said that worry is the misuse of imagination. We can't call a good outcome to ourselves or anyone else by imagining the worst and trying to prevent it. The way of the heart says, love trusts all things, embraces all things, and transcends all things. You eventually transcend all things as you assume complete and total responsibility for what's being channeled through you. Now, I was at Kroger's on Thursday with a friend, and even though the market was crowded and a lot of the shelves were empty, Kroger's is sometimes like that. It wasn't until we went to pay for our groceries and saw that the lines were about 10 carts deep, even in self-check, that we began to wonder what was happening. And so when we finally got up to the checker, my friend said, "What's going on?" And the checker shrugged and said, "It's a party and I wasn't invited." And I thought, what a perfect response. So here's a question. that we can ask ourselves this morning, or at some point, what party does my mind invite me to? Every day there's an invitation to join the fear of the world. And every day there's an invitation from the Spirit within us to keep the faith. We decide which party we're invited to by the thoughts we hold and believe are true. But before sending out our mental RSVP, it is vital for us to remember that fearful or faithful, anxious or trustful, we attract the experiences that will come to us in the future through the thoughts that we believe are true right now. The law of attraction doesn't differentiate between what we want and focus on and what we don't want and focus on. It simply brings into our life more of what we focus on. Because like attracts like it or not. Sooner or later, the thoughts we give our attention to today, even if we're trying to prevent the bad from getting worse, will take form in some way, in some shape. No one can cause us to see life the way they see life, unless we decide to see it that way. Our individual point of view, our individual experience of life depends on just one thing: the thoughts that we call our own. The way of the heart tells us, when you arise in the morning, the first thought that makes a home in your mind, you will act on. You may stretch the body. You may smile. You may frown. You might be filled with peace, or you might feel the weight of the world. These things come not because you have perceived them outside, but because you have allowed them inside. Inside the depth of your consciousness. When our thoughts are stimulated only by what we see and hear in a world that seems outside of us, we feel the weight of the world when we arise. And though we may take pride in our ability to feel its pain, such thoughts aren't helpful to the world because we've allowed them to find a place of creation inside the depth of our consciousness, which will create more of the same. When we make the much more difficult choice not to worry and to be happy, when we arise in the morning, our first thoughts make us smile and cause us to be filled with a peace that not only feels good to us, but does good to the world around us. Because we've allowed healthy thoughts to find a place of creation inside the depth of our consciousness, which will create more of the same. So the question is, are we ready to be the awesome spiritual beings that we are created to be? Are we ready to allow the power of our spirit to arise in us and make a better day for ourselves and the world around us? If we are, and we wonder how we can arise tomorrow morning, and the morning after that, and the morning after that, with a smile on our face and a heart filled with peace. A Course in Miracles suggests this practice before we lay our head down to sleep each night. Listen in deep silence. Be very still and open your mind. Go past all the raucous shrieks and sick imaginings that cover your real thoughts and obscure your eternal link with God. Sink deep into the peace that waits for you beyond the frantic, riotous thoughts and sights and sounds of this insane world. Then you will hear God's voice reminding you of Him and of yourself. He wants you to hear His voice. He gave it to you to be heard. No one can influence us without our permission. No one can turn us away from a truth we believe in. Our soul knows when something feels real and authentic and true. No matter what anyone else would try to convince us of, the truth will always feel different within us because our heart knows when something resonates. And we can decide to trust that feeling. Namaste.